The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How does forgiveness or a lack of forgiveness impact the church? Does forgiveness that's been granted mean that a particular sin won't show up at the judgment seat of Christ? Welcome, friends, to Grace in Focus. We are so glad that you're with us today as we think about forgiveness in this question and answer episode of Grace in Focus. Be sure to check out our website, faithalone.org, for resources and to learn more about us. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Bob Wilkin and I, Ken Yates, are continuing answering questions we get. And Bob, you've got a multi-part question.
All of these questions relate to repentance and forgiveness between two believers.
And so some of these issues are going to be, what's the difference between forgiveness or confession and repentance? What is the difference? And then obviously one of the verses that are going to play a big part in these questions is 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, he forgives us of our sins.
Yeah, except he's really not dealing with our forgiveness by God.
Right.
He's dealing with forgiveness believer to believer. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, if we do not, how does it go? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
For if we do not forgive others, he will not forgive us.
Right. Yep. So what Barry, that's who is asking the question, is asking about is the believer to believer forgiveness. So let me give you a few examples. His first question is, if we forgive another believer, will it benefit both of us, me and the one I forgive, as well as the body of Christ? So what's the answer there?
Well, there is the assumption there that the believers in question here, I'm assuming, are attending a local assembly together.
Right.
And so when believers forgive, in this case another believer, is the body of Christ benefited?
Right.
And I would say certainly yes.
And both of the people, the offended person and the offender, both benefit from the giving of forgiveness.
Yes. Certainly fellowship will be restored. And one of the things I've noticed here in recent years studying the New Testament is how often the New Testament epistles talk about corporate responsibility, the body. The
right.
body of Christ, for example. What, a couple of years ago, we had a conference here at GES on the church or Ephesians.
Right.
And what you see, especially in the book of Ephesians, is this something that's hard for us to think about as Westerners, that we are not just Lone Ranger Christians. We belong to a body. And so, yes, when there's fellowship, when there's intimacy between believers, that's going to have a positive impact upon the body, and that's a good thing.
Right, right. In fact, there's a strange verse in Hebrews 12:14, pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord.
Right.
How do you take that verse?
Well, I take that verse to mean that as we do pursue holiness, that the Lord is seen at work in us, that he is, you know, when Jesus says, well, our good works so that others will see them and
glorify
your Father. And so that seeing the Lord is not, I hope I make it to heaven, you know, and see him.
It's not saying pursue holiness so you can make it to heaven.
Yes.
It's saying pursue holiness whereby other people in your local assembly will see God in you.
Exactly.
Will see Christ in you.
Right.
Right.
And it's the author of Hebrews also talks about this body, responsibility we have in the body, in the sense that he talks about don't let there be a root of bitterness springing up by
right.
which many are defiled.
Many in the body would right. be defiled by this root of bitterness.
That you're going to negatively impact them. So certainly if we have two believers or a believer who doesn't forgive another one, then that's going to be going to have negative consequences within the body. Right.
Yeah. Don't we have that? What is it? I can't remember if it's Philippians 4, but Euodia and Syntyche.
Yeah.
These two women are having this problem. Is that Philippians 4 around verse 2 and 3, I think?
Yes, yes, Yes.
Well, maybe you could read that. I'm turning there. I know Gentiles eat pork chops, so it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Yeah, here it is, verse 2. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Well, the reason they're saying that is evidently there was some sort of conflict between these two women, right?
Right. And this idea of being the same mind, you know, probably the most famous passage in Philippians is let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus.
Who humbled himself. Yeah.
Humble. And so if there's this, I think there's a connection there. Have the mind of Christ here and don't, because whatever it is that's going on with these two women, they needed to humble themselves and not be arrogant about it. And it's like, I've got to have my way. It's my way or the highway. And evidently these were two women that in the past had been, what would we say, faithful workers with
right,
Paul.
Right.
Right.
And, yeah, he talks about co-workers and they were ones of,
right.
of them.
And now this, whatever's going on with them, they're fighting. And I forgot the guy. Who was the guy that was a friend of GES? He went to be with the Lord who did some work on Philippians. I forgot his name. But anyway, he
I'm not sure who.
I know you know who I'm talking about. He wrote a couple journal articles for us and stuff on Philippians.
Oh, Bob Swift.
Yeah, Bob Swift.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
a good
yeah.
friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah. He talked about this corporate responsibility in Philippians that
he did. Yeah.
That they're working together with Paul as a church. And I see that. So if these two women are not forgiving one another or whatever, it's going to impact not just them, but the work of the church here
okay.
As they're partnering with Paul.
So, okay, so no man is an island unto
exactly.
himself. And what we do, if you and I had a conflict, it would, and we were in the same church, it would affect that church. If you and I had a conflict within GES, it would affect other people within GES, right?
Right.
Whereas if we restore, that's good too.
Right.
All right, we have a second question from Barry. Will Jesus judge disapprovingly of another believer who sinned against me at the Bema for their offense if I forgive them? Well, this is a roundabout way of asking, are forgiven sins brought up at the judgment seat of Christ? A lot of people will say, if I use 1 John 1:9 and confess my sins, does that mean they won't come up at the judgment seat of Christ? Now, Barry's taking it a little bit different and saying, if someone sins against me and I forgive them, so now not only has God forgiven them, but I've forgiven them too, does that mean they won't come up at the Bema? And my answer would be no. All our deeds are going to come up at the Bema, at least all our deeds from the time we're born again to the time we go to be with the Lord, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what is done, whether good or bad. And the words good or bad mean good or bad. The majority text has a word that clearly means bad. The critical text has a word that sometimes is translated worthless. But whenever it's the opposite of agathos for good, it always means bad in the New Testament.
So some would take that to be worthless in the sense that, okay, I went fishing on Sunday when I could have done something beneficial for the Lord.
Or I went fishing on Thursday night and I could have spent that time doing something else.
Yeah, so
but
it was
no,
worthless time.
It's not worthless. It's not like I'm watching a football game or something. It's that it's bad deeds. And the point is, our sins won't be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, nor will the sins of unbelievers be judged at the great white throne. But the deeds of believers will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and the deeds of unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne. Because Jesus shed his blood for our sins, they won't be judged as sins, they'll be judged as works. But if they're bad works, then we're going to be judged for those things. And so the fact that Barry forgives his fellow brother or sister doesn't mean that other person is not going to have that come up at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is, by the way, a very unpopular teaching. What most Christians don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ, but the
right.
ones that do want to believe that any bad deeds we do go away as long as we die in fellowship with God.
And the only thing that's really going to be, quote unquote, judged there is our good stuff.
Right. So everybody gets good stuff. The problem is, read the parable of the minas in Luke 19. The third servant is rebuked. That's not just all the good stuff. And if you read the parable of the just and unjust servant in Matthew 24, 45 to 51, he's rebuked by Christ, gets a verbal tongue lashing. He's verbally cut in two. That's clearly more than just, let's look at only your good works.
I'll tell you something that's really helped me in this is when people pointed out, well, the Word of God, we're going to be studying the Word of God for eternity. Well, in the Word of God, there are accounts of bad deeds.
David killing Uriah
exactly.
is going to be there forever.
And Bathsheba.
Right.
You know, and Solomon. I mean, look how Solomon.
He dies as an adult.
Just his whole life got flushed down the toilet.
But he'll be there. He'll be in the kingdom, but he won't be ruling because of that.
Right. And I would say Saul, you know.
Yeah, King Saul.
King Saul. And so we're going to know of their bad deeds, you know, their sinful activities. So why would we think that? Well, no, only our good things are going to be remembered.
I mean, it might be nice to think that way, but it appears in Scripture that we are to be concerned about being ashamed before Him at His coming. 1 John 2:28. Now, some, I suppose, would argue that the passages I'm citing are people who were out of fellowship with God when they died. But I don't see any hint that because I was in fellowship with God, therefore, I'm only judged for my good works. In the parable of the minas, the second servant doesn't hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and he doesn't get 10 cities to rule over. So he's held accountable for the fact that cares, riches, and the pleasures of life choked out his effectiveness, and he's only half as effective as he could have been. Well, I know we're out of time. I see you giving me the eye there, Ken, but does that make sense that the fact that we forgive someone doesn't mean that what they've done is not going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ?
Right, we can still have fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another, but we're still going to give an account of the deeds we've done at the judgment seat of Christ. Both those things can be true.
Yeah, and if you don't agree with this, that's fine. Study the Scriptures, see what you think. We have a number of books on eternal rewards. Zane Hodges has one called Grace and Eclipse. I have one called The Road to Reward. And there are a number of other books on rewards. Get some of these books and read them and pray about this and meditate on it. And while you do, keep
grace in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials. But one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus episode, more questions about forgiveness. If someone else is not offended by something that I'm convicted about, does this mean that I didn't sin? Please listen next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.